Father, I just thank you for your holiness. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Father God, for giving us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that pants after you. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, people... When we try to tell the churches that there's a lot of warfare going on and that the enemy's fighting really strong, they say, oh, but it's going to be all right. That's so trite. It is going to be all right, but there's a battle going on. And we have to fight this battle before it's going to be all right. And not everybody can walk around smiling saying it's going to be all right. And I'm not saying we should be in anything negative, but we should be in the positive at all times. But still in all, we have to understand that we are in warfare. Strong warfare. And if you don't understand that, well, then you've got a big problem. And if you're just trying to go around saying, well, everything's going to work out just fine, then you have a problem there too. I was reading an article where it said that the watchmen on the wall, you know, the pastors, are going around letting people believe everything's all right, and they really don't. They can be passive if they want to be passive, and that's leading the church down to a road of destruction. And this article said that if you're a real watchman on the wall, you will warn your people, and you will not watch them go down that wrong path. Now, you are always going to hear the truth when you come into this church. I'm not going to water it down, and I'm going to allow God to use me any way he desires to use me. I don't believe in this flitting around here and there and letting everybody else speak into your life, telling you what you're all right. So if God has called you and God has spoken a word into your life, then you need to do whatever what that word is telling you to do. And when God tells you to quit allowing other people to tell you what to do, then you need to quit allowing other people to tell you what to do. I'm talking about leaders. I'm talking to leaders right now. You want to feel needed and wanted, and you want to fit in, and what you're doing is digging your own self a grave. The only thing you're fitting into is the group of people that are going to one day go to hell. If you're a true leader, you don't fit in. You are peculiar, you are different, and you're following the voice of the Father, not the voice of people. This is so very, very important that we understand this. Because if you don't understand this, you can't lead people. Are you understanding that? If you're going to give in to every while the enemy, then you can't lead. You can't even be guided because the Holy Spirit, you won't allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. You just let people guide you, and we need to get out of that mindset. Now, you might think, well, she's being rough. No, God is upset with the church as a whole, and the church is not doing the things they're supposed to be doing as a whole. The world is getting darker and darker. Sin is running rampant all over the place, including the house of God. Ministers are going to be, God's going to be taking ministers out of the pulpit who are just lukewarm, and he's going to close their churches down. And for those who have known the presence of the Father and have had a word from the Father and you're still living in sin, partaker of sin, God's already passed you by. It's just that simple. You know, how long do you think God's going to keep saying, oh, it's okay? And you know where that comes from? It comes out of sloppy grace people preach for years and years. Oh, you can go ahead and sin, and God doesn't understand that constant sin. No, he doesn't. He doesn't understand sin when you've been taught what sin is and what righteousness is, and you keep sinning. He doesn't understand that. What he understands is that your heart is cold and your heart is indifferent. And that's why you don't follow God. That's why you do the things that you do. Do you know that it's going to get so bad that even your family is not going to like you? And you're going to have to be strong enough to, you're going to have to be strong enough to endure that separation. Because they're going to speak all manner of evil of you. And they're even going to curse the God that you follow. And, you know, you're just going to have a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint and be able to withstand the attack of the enemy through your family, your loved ones, your close friends, because you have an assignment from God. And as you read the Bible from front to back, God's chosen men, even there were some women, always had to fight a battle, did they not? They were always under attack, always. Even Jesus was under attack, always. So where do we get off of thinking we just sin and do our little thing and still be called a child of God? You can't do that. You know, God wants us to walk on holy ground. He doesn't want us to walk on contaminated ground. And the only way the ground, if you're a true child of God, the only way the ground is not holy is if you're contaminated. And if you're not contaminated, then every place you go becomes holy ground. I want you to really remember that from this second forward. If you're truly walking with God, I don't care, you can walk into the biggest snake pit in the world. But when you step your feet in there, it becomes holy ground. And then God can start doing the works in that place. Are you all understanding this? People are falling away from the church just right and left using this COVID thing. That's about the biggest excuse I ever. You always didn't want to serve God anyhow, so you just use this as an excuse not to. Come on. Let's just quit making excuses, because when you stand before God, an excuse is not going to help you. And what's going on right now, have you noticed what's going on is people say, well, I wouldn't be like I am if it wouldn't have been for so-and-so. Have you been hearing that lately? You know, and I guess I'm on a little bit of a, I don't know what about that, because that is not true. You are what you want to be. And you just use what other people do as excuse. You think that's going to lighten what you do? It does not. You have a mind of your own. God gave each one of us a sound mind. And we do what we do because we want to do it. And I've just really been dealing with this lately with family. Well, you know, if so-and-so wouldn't did this, and I wouldn't be the way I must. That is not true. And I'm standing my ground on that too. And I'm being come against. And, you know, because, all right, if that's the case, then the devil's going to take you wherever he wants to take you, isn't he? He's going to use anybody you come in contact with to take you down that slippery road. It doesn't even have to be a family member. It can be anybody. If that's the way you really believe in your little pea brain, that other people control you, that is dumb. And so you need to get that mindset taken care of too. Well, you know, the picture popped up on my computer, so I had to look at it. No, you didn't. You looked at it because you wanted to. It's just that simple. There are certain people come on TV with this here political stuff. I turn the TV off. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to hear what they have to say. Are you understanding this? You have control over what you look at and what you listen to. Why do you keep saying it's somebody else's fault? Well, you know, everybody cusses. You don't have to cuss. You hear it every place you go, but you don't have to do it. Come on. Well, okay, then everybody's getting their head cut off, so let's get in line and get our heads cut off. You know? Same mindset. Right? Let's talk about holy ground. You know, God's really been dealing with me. He said, the body of Christ has got to get it together. You don't understand how close you are to the pits of hell. And this is why God's been saying he's going to bring in the unsaved and clean them up. And he's going to just brush his church right on out on the street. And he's going to use the unsaved to do the works that needs to be done. And you can't get discouraged at the drop of a hat. You just can't do that. You know, you might get a little bit you know, messed up for a second, but go to the bedroom, go to your bedroom and just tell the devil where to go and then come out refreshed and renewed and with victory. Don't carry that around everywhere. And every one of us, I really believe that's why Jesus went to the mountain all the time. Because the world had just come against him all day long and he had to go and get refreshed. And he came back refreshed, continued on his journey. But we don't get refreshed. We just give in to whatever the devil's wanting us to do. And we mess ourselves and everybody else up around about us, right? All right, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Well, I can't hear God's voice. Then close out the clamor of the world. What did God teach us? He had me teach one time about those who have ears to hear. Close out the clamor of the world. And then he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Quit being double-minded. God's taught on that many, many times. And he's told us to purify ourselves. He's told us to get ourselves clean. I'm sorry, guys, the church is not where it should be. This is not where it should be. By confessing our sins, practicing humility, and transforming our thoughts with Scripture, we can become more like Christ and get closer to God. That's me speaking. By confessing our sins, practicing humility, and transforming our thoughts with Scripture, we can become more like Christ and get closer to God. Now, I hope you're not confessing the same sin 10 times a day for the rest of your life. Because you aren't going anywhere. You know, that's what I always preach this. That's what I liked about David. Whatever sin he did it one time and never repeated that sin, right? The body of Christ says, oh, I'm sorry, God, I did that. And it might only be 2 seconds later. They do the same sin all over again. And that's not pleasing to God. In fact, God's going to quit listening to you. He's going to pass you right on by. Now, God said, children, how close are you walking with me? That is a big question, and I require a big answer. I require an honest, adamant answer right now. In other words, right now, as you're hearing God say this, you need to be thinking, how close am I walking to God? God said, you see, you need to know and understand where you're at in your walk with me. You're either hot or you're cold. God said, I have an angelic army all prepared to work with you, and I expect you to be ready for this army to come to your rescue. How many just yesterday you had a call on those angels? I call on the angels all the time because if I didn't, I couldn't win the battle. Because the battles are getting rougher and rougher, and I'm hearing God saying stinkier and stinkier, you know. And we have to call on the angels to come and assist us. You don't have to see the angel. He's there. If you're really walking in the spirit, you find yourself bumping into him. And you find yourself seeing him move out of the corner of your eye and you look and he's not there, but you know it. Then you turn your head, there he is again. But you really don't have to do all that. You just have to, by faith, know that there is angels all around about you. You have to, by faith, know that God assigned an angel especially to take care of you the day you came out of your mother's womb. And that angel's always going to be with you. God said, we are in a war, children, and this war is not going to stop real soon. You are warring for your nation. You're warring for your families. You're warring for your very salvation. You are warring for your very salvation. You have no earthly idea what you are in for, but when you signed up, you told me you were in it for the long haul. Let's say that again. You have no earthly idea what you're in for, and we don't. For when you signed up, you told me you were in it for the long haul. My churches have compromised for so very long now, and they have come into a place of complete stagnation. We are never going to be stagnant as long as I'm sitting here. I'm going to keep stirring those waters until they get clear, right? Aren't you glad? Thank you. All right. In this place of stagnation, the enemy has all authority over them. But I have my remnant church that I am pulling to the forefront, and they have sold out totally and completely to my will and my way. Now, are you part of that remnant church? Granted, they have taken a few gulps. We're talking about the remnant church. Granted, they have taken a few gulps every now and then, but they stood tall and said, whatever you say, Lord. Now, how many of you, the devil's knocked you to your knees, and you cried a few minutes, but you got back up and said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, no matter what I have to go through, right? I know some of us in here, we go down that road quite often, but we get back up again, don't we? What's the Bible say that a child of God falls down seven times, but seven times they get back up again? And sometimes I say, God, I'm down for the seventh time. Pull me up. Right? It gets rough, doesn't it? Let's be honest. It gets rough. It gets really rough. And I'm not going to stand up here and say it doesn't. I'm not going to stand up here and say it doesn't bother me. It bothers me. And I have to fight and fight and fight and rely on the angels and cry out to God to get back up sometimes. Come on. God said, I am calling these ministers of the gospel to stand on holy ground. Preach holiness, live holiness, and take holiness to the world. Bring America back to the cross and keep her there. You who are ministers, this is what you're supposed to be doing. I am calling these ministers of the gospel to stand on holy ground. Preach holiness, live holiness, and take holiness to the world. Bring America back to the cross and keep her there. How many of you have found out just in the last week, let's say, that trying to keep holiness around about you, if you have a family, is really hard? If you're living alone, then you have a gravy train. But when you're trying to live holiness, teach holiness, keep your house holy, the enemy is fighting tooth and nail. Fighting tooth and nail. He's going to try to wear you right on out. And you're going to have to show him that you're strong. Somebody, I've been really dealing with something, and I said, look, I might be 80, but you're not going to walk over me. Don't come and patronize me. Doesn't that make you mad when the devil tries to patronize you? I don't care what age you are. The devil thinks he could just sweet talk and say things and think you're going to fall for what they're doing. Well, don't fall for what they're doing. It's the devil working through them, and they're a willing vessel. They've opened a door and let the devil come in. Holiness is where it's at. I don't care what you say. God does not condone living together and sleeping together. He doesn't condone that. And I'm not going to tell you he does. You're in sin, blatant sin, because the Word of God tells you not to do that. And I don't care how you word it, it is still sin. And you're not going to change my mind because we live, talk, and speak holiness, right? So now I want to take a few minutes and compare us with Isaiah. This is Isaiah's vision of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Isaiah was in a rough spot at that point, but he said he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Every time we get into a bind, we should be like Isaiah. We should be so close to God that we look up and we see the Father. I don't mean, hope we can literally see him, but I don't mean literally see him, but look up and we know that God is on his throne and God is not defeated and that God is fighting for us. If you don't know that now, you're not going to make it, because things are going to get really, really bad from what God's telling me and some of the other prophets. They're going to get really, really bad. If you can't make it now, what's that scripture? You can't run with the footmen. How are you going to run with the horses? God told me that one time about 2 years ago. He gave me that scripture. I was really having a battle. I was really having a hard time overcoming the situations around me, and God spoke that to me. I went and read that scripture, and I said, devil, you are not going to win. I'm going to be stronger now than I ever was, and I'm going to defeat this enemy that's raging around about me. You just can't sit down and give in. You can't. You have to fight. Rise up and fight. Like that song, I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. In other words, your heart is geared towards heaven. And it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, he can't take you out. If you don't have that mindset, you might as well walk out the door right now. Because you're wasting your time. You're really wasting your time. King Uzziah, we're talking about Isaiah here. King Uzziah was dead, and with his death came the end of a great era for Judah, which had become a mighty kingdom under his rule, under King Uzziah's rule. Now that the king was dead, the people were in an emotional upheaval. Their security was compromised because it had been placed in a man rather than in God. America has forsaken her God, and right now America is stunned at what is going on around about her. Everything she valued and held dear to her heart has been touched by darkness. Nothing is the same, and fear is running rampant throughout this great nation. Isn't that true? That's the truth. Have you been trying to tell your family what's going to happen? Have you been trying to warn your family you've got to get it together? And are they really listening? Are they looking at you like you have three heads? And they just can't I just keep right on. This is what's going to happen. So this is what you have to do. You have to start doing it right now, I tell them. Or you're going under. You won't even serve God. And so because you're under my roof, you're under my anointing. And so at least God will keep you. But this is what we're going to do while you're under my roof. Right? We're going to do everything God, we're going to serve God, we're going to do everything God's telling us to do, because I'm not going to be cursed because you want to follow your God. Now, are you walking close enough to God that you can say that? And know with surety of heart that you're being backed up by all of heaven? If you're not, then you might as well just be quiet, because God can't back you up if you're not living for him. He can. He could, but he won't. Let's put it that way. I know this is serious this morning, but we are in a serious place. And I'm hearing God say we're about ready to get bombarded with more of hell than we've ever experienced before. And he's trying to get us, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, he's trying to get us built up so that we can endure the afflictions that the enemy's going to throw at us. All right, what is your king, Uzziah? How are you handling the current crisis going on in your life? What are you doing now that your Uzziah has died and your dreams dissolved? If your devotion is focused on the things of this world and trouble comes, you will be shaken. However, if your devotion is focused on God, you will remain steadfast and sure. Our greatest vision and understanding of God often comes in times of crisis. Amen, right? Our greatest vision and understanding of God often comes in times of crisis. Isaiah stepped out of a national whirlwind into the security of the temple where God's presence appeared before him in full glory. Suddenly, the hurricane that had been ripping at his heart vanished, and he fell on his face and worshiped the Lord. We are in the very same place right now in America that Isaiah was when King Uzziah died. If you don't know it, America is more or less dead right now. But God has been promising us, and he's told me many times, I'm going to restore America, though, and it's going to be great once again, and he's using our present president to do that. But in the meantime, so many in America are running in total fear. They're in total confusion, and they don't know where to run to, and they don't know who to believe and who not to believe. Why is this happening, church? It's because the church has not been taught properly. They have not been taught how to live for God, and they have not been taught how to walk in perfect peace. So they're walking in fear. Now, God has been trying. He sends many people through these doors. He always told me you will have a swinging door because I'm going to send in ministers, and I want you to minister to them so I can send them forth to minister to other people. But too many people come through the swinging door, and they don't heed what God has said to them. Therefore, God is still saying he cannot find a man, he means a person, who he can send and trust to do this great harvest that needs to be harvested. Are you understanding this? Now, you know, I know some of you guys are walking really super close to God. I know you're doing everything you should for God, but those watching don't know that. Some of them don't know that. You see what I'm saying? Some of you in here are still not doing the things that God has called you for to do. So God has to keep repeating himself over and over. Because I've asked God, why do you do that? And he has to keep repeating himself over and over again because they have not yet comprehended what he's trying to do with them. And I'm hearing him say, are you one of those that have not yet comprehended? Are the winds of adversity blowing hard against your life? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? If so, turn your worry into worship because you are standing on holy ground. You are standing on holy ground. That's our problem. We don't understand that we're standing on holy ground. We don't understand that we should have holiness just vibrating out of us. We don't need to live our lives in fear, but we do need to develop a strong, unshakable faith in the one who will never fail us, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, when life takes a downward turn, we will rest secure in his loving care. Now, how many of you, and to be honest, how many of you just, there's times you've just said, you know, the battle has gotten so bad that it's just trying to suck you in, and you just fall on your face or sit in a chair. I sit in a chair, and I start crying. I say, God, I just really need you really bad. I'm not running to somebody saying, please pray, please. No, I say, God, I need you. It's you that I need. I don't need anybody else. Because if you don't show up, God, it's not going to happen. Other people cannot make it happen, guys. You have to cry out to God. You really have to cry out to God. And I was crying out to God the other week, and God said, daughter, it's just you and I. It's just you and I. There's nobody out there that you can run to. So that's why I'm sharing this with you. He says, just you and I. He said, I'll lead you through if you just stay in my presence. You don't have to ask somebody else. You don't have to share with anybody else. It's me and you. So this is the attitude you have to grasp hold of. It's just you and God. Because a lot of you know when you try to share, people come against you. And they tell you you're stupid or you're just not hearing God or whatever they use to try to discourage you. But it's just you and God. All right? I just said to God the other day, I said, God, I would love to live all alone again. He said, daughter, but you have to be among the sinners. You hear that? You have to be among the sinners. We can't, you know, if we're just living all alone, it's just you hogging in all the glory, right? But what God needs you to be is he needs you to be a strong tower. You can send you out and be in the midst of the sinners, and the glory in you will just pour out into them without you saying a word and start eventually changing their hearts, all right? Being alone, living alone is not the idea with God. You have to mix with the sinners. Now, some of you live alone, and that's great. But what I'm saying is, don't just want to abide in that loneliness with, you know, that unity with God. God needs you to go out amongst the people too. Where am I at? Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. See that? The angels are saying the whole earth is full of his glory. Remember, God told me, he's a daughter, the glory's already in here. The glory's here. I have not dropped it in my fullness. So if you're in Christ and the whole earth is full of his glory, then, you know, if you're in Christ, he's in you, right? Then you're full of his glory already. You are full of his glory already. And then whenever you go out into the world, you take that glory with you. See, we want the room to shake and fire and lightning and everything else go off in here, and that's God's glory. No, God's glory is already in you. We're looking for something that we're not going to see. Know that you're a vessel of honor that's carrying His glory, and wherever you go, you take that glory. You take the glory. Verse 4 says, and the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Or here I am, send me. Some of us have said that, haven't we? We were so touched by God, we said, God, here I am, send me. He sent you, but you were not prepared with what you were going to meet when you were sent. And when you become sent, then you meet the devil head on. And from that point on, there's a battle going. God told me there's a battle always going on. It's a tug of war. He's pulling one side, the enemy's pulling the other side, and it was always up to me who won the tug of war. In other words, everything I went through, every trial, tribulation, there was always a tug of war going on in that thing. God was saying, stay with me, and Satan says, I'm going to take you. See, and I had to determine in my heart that I was going to win every tug of war because I always wanted to remain God's. So anytime you're in a battle, remember that, because God showed me, told me that myself. He said, daughter, you're in a tug of war. The enemy's vying for your soul, and I'm vying for your soul. So it's up to you. Do you want God to have it his way, or do you want the enemy to take you? See, it's totally up to you. Don't blame it on anybody else. It's up to you. Many have said the very same words Isaiah said, here I am, send me. From the time you spoke those words until now, God has been preparing you for this great harvest of souls. When you said, here I am, God has been getting you cleaned up. And he's been building you up. He's been placing himself in you so that you are ready for this great harvest of souls that's out there. That is why you've been going through all the mess you've been going through, because you were weak when you first said, here I am, send me. And God had to get in there and wash you clean and make you strong so that you could stand in front of the enemy and win. I've read a few articles where, and I always think about Astrid and her ministry with her people in the places she has to go, where they walk into the worst situations there are, and people give their heart to God just like that. And they have guns on them and everything else. But because this person or these people, I've read a couple articles, when they walk in, they're carrying the glory of God inside. And the power of God is on them. And the people just automatically start weeping and crying because they're drawn to the Christ in you. All right? This is what you're looking forward to. I mean, you know, this is what you're going to walk into. What you're going to walk into is all of a sudden you're going to walk into maybe your office, and all of a sudden everybody starts weeping because the glory came in there with you, and the Holy Spirit came in there, and you brought in the holiness, and the people just want to be cleansed and set free. Are you seeing this? Come on. Today, God wants to work on your feet. He wants your feet to become totally holy, so that wherever you walk, you make that ground holy with the presence of the Almighty One that lives deep inside of you. Today, let's work on your feet. He's been working on your head, your hands, your heart, your eyes, your ears. Now he's down to your feet. Those feet need to be glorified. That transforming one that will never leave. All right, let me go back there again. Today, God wants to work on your feet. He wants your feet to become totally holy, so that wherever you walk, you make that ground holy with the presence of the Almighty One that lives deep inside of you, with the one that lives deep inside of you. That transforming one that will never leave nor forsake you. That Holy One that called you out of the grave of darkness and placed you in heavenly places with Him and has been teaching you of His ways. Isn't that awesome? You, when you totally and completely surrender yourself to God, it's the most wonderful walk you could ever walk. It really is. There's a couple of you in here. I'm so proud of you. You've let God clean you up, and you just, all you want to do sometimes sitting in here is weep, because you just love God so much. And you know, if you had a whole room full of people like that, wow, we'd have a fire in here, wouldn't we? A fire that nothing could ever quench. All right, this same Holy One wants to transform you into the vessel of honor that He can work through continually. Remember, He said, be instant in season and out of season. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, God can use you to work through you. Peter carried such a strong anointing that just walking down the street, his shadow healed the people. Hallelujah. What does your shadow do? Touches that devil out there and say, hey, here we got another one coming. Let's just join forces. Or is there such an anointing in your shadow that you heal the sick, make that devil flee? You know, I'm just trying to get your attention to make you understand what's going on. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Are you performing many signs and wonders among the people that you run in contact with? And you know, that can happen in many different ways. It really can. All right, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. This is where we should be at today, but we are not. Why? Because our vessels are still impure. Now, not everybody now, so please take this that way. And that is why you're not seeing a great influx of lost souls. That's why you're not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles happening. All right? Come on. You should be so anointed to people who just want to come and just sit, you know, in your home, that you don't really need to say anything, because they want to feel that anointing that's flowing out of you, and it gives them peace. What was in the shadow of Peter that healed the sick? And God said it was His dunamis power. When the Bible uses the word dunamis, it never refers to our strength or ability, but rather to His power through us. It is His power alone that keeps us while it forms our character. That's why I wanted to play that song, There is Power in the Blood. If we really have Jesus in us, then we have the blood of Jesus in us. And if we have the blood of Jesus in us, then we have the power of Jesus in us, right? I know that's an old song, but you know what? When we first started church, we sang that song and the glory of God would drop. And many signs, wonders, and miracles occurred, did they not? It was as we sang those type of songs that God moved. That today's songs are good, but they don't have the anointing on them. You have to be careful what you're singing. In church, you have to be careful what you're singing, because sometimes all you're singing is a nice song that isn't doing any work, right? I want you to understand this. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the song. You just have to know which songs to sing to invite the glory in. And I'm going to tell you, this church is in a new dispensation. We've entered into it because now God has placed upon my heart that this is the type of songs he wants to sing. So I'm excited. I got excited last night when I was listening to these songs, because I know God's getting ready to move. We have to have the right song. We have to have the right sound for him to do that. So I don't want you balking at what we sing, because I'm going to be singing what we need to be singing so that God's glory can drop on us. And we can leave here carrying the power and the authority. And it doesn't matter where you go. I don't care if it's in a restaurant. I don't care if you're just walking down the road. You could be sitting in your car and pass somebody else, and the power of God could hit them in their car. Come on. If you've never witnessed that and never been part of that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But it's the most powerful thing that you can ever walk in. When just you walking by somebody, you know, the power of God jumps out of you into somebody else. And wonderful things happen. Why are you content sitting here doing nothing? I am so discontent, I can't stand my own self. But why are you content and sitting here just surviving? God doesn't want us just to survive. He wants us to be so full of the fire of God that we'll carry that thing to the nations. Are you listening? Some of you say, when's my ministry going to start? When's my ministry going to start? Well, when have you stayed in your prayer closet and cried out to God until he answered you? How many of you have gotten in a prayer closet and cried a bucket of tears until God delivered you? You and everybody else do the work for you. You can't be a vessel of honor that way. You have to do your own crying out. You have to do your own get in your little Garden of Gethsemane like Jesus did before he went to the cross. But no, we don't want to do that. Well, then you're going to stay bound. All right, so the Greek word dunamis in Scripture means power, force, or ability. Dunamis means, in the Greek, means power, force, or ability. Paul uses this word in 2 Timothy 1:7 when he writes, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." I've never seen a society that's so out of self-control as what this one is. You just do anything, right? Don't they? Do it, say it, act in it. I can't believe no self-control whatsoever. Devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did it yourself, because you're not in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul wants Timothy to know that the Lord has given him, Timothy, the dynamic ability to stand strong in the faith once and for all, delivered to the saints, and to share the faith with others. Come on. When Jesus cast out a demon in Luke 4:31-37, and he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." See, the devil knows who Jesus is, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. When guys, you upset me. When you do deliverance, you have to have authority and you have to have the power. You're not dealing with the flesh and blood sitting in front of you. You're dealing with that demon that's down inside that person, destroying that person. And you're treating that, when you're doing deliverance, you sit there and act like you, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to ruffle their hair any. Well, you know what? God isn't pleased with that. You need to ruffle their hair, and you might even need to hurt their feelings, but really you're not, because you're not working with flesh and blood. If you don't have the power and authority and the guts to get down there and get the devil out, then you don't need to be doing deliverance, and that's the truth. Come on. And so you have to be walking close to God in holiness to have that kind of power and authority where the enemy is going to listen to your voice. He does not have to obey your voice. In fact, he's sitting there making fun of you. If you're not walking close to God, he does not have to obey you. He does not have to come out. Now, you know, I see some of you, you're really bold. Barbara's really bold. And she doesn't mind telling you what it is. And see, and that's a good thing. And I know, you know, I was sitting doing this the other night, and I was thinking a couple of pastors I know, they're really bold. And they'll just do and say anything. And the enemy has to listen to them. But what are you doing? You can't even keep your own self straightened out, let alone try to deliver somebody else. I really want you to think really hard about this. How, you know, you have to be bold with your own self. You have to shout at yourself if you have to. But you have to be bold with your own self and tell your own self to get it together. Before you can go out and try to tell any devil and somebody else to get it together. We was, you know, I do homeschooling the other morning, and that little devil in Isaiah rose up and wasn't going to do any homework. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And Isaiah said, oh God, we're going to go here again. He said, he said, I can't believe you're doing this. He said, you're my teacher. I said, yeah, that's right. And I got the devil out of him, and he was fine. He just settled right on down. But he said that. That was that devil in him saying that, right? So is that, you know, do you have that authority that whenever you do that devil says, oh, no, we're going to go here again? I about had to laugh when he said it, but I had to keep, you know, being bold. See, some of you people have kids that, you know, you really need to hang them up on a hook somewhere. They are so uncivilized. They don't listen to nothing. You don't correct them. They tell you what to do. You ought to be ashamed. Because when you stand before God, God's going to hold you accountable for how you raised your children. He's going to say, why did you allow them to act like a heathen? You're supposed to train them up in my ways, and letting them have their own ways, not training them up in his ways. Come on. You know, people talk about you whenever you walk away. Boy, they ought to leave that kid home. Come on. I was talking to two young men yesterday, and they said, you know, there was different times. You know, they're my relatives, but they were taken away from me. And they said there was different times once we were out of the house that we really was going to do what other people were doing, but we remembered what you taught us. And we had a good foundation, and they said, we didn't do it. We just about did. About slipped up once or twice, but you told us how to live. You told us the important. And even though the people were treating them really bad, you taught us to always respect our elders. And we never said a word. We just sat quietly, and they said, we prayed all the time. See, train, and when God gives me kids, he says to me, these are not your children. These are my children. I place them in your hands to raise them up in my ways because I want to use them. Because so that's God's child that you're raising, not your own. And when you stand before God, you're going to be held accountable for that. And I think I've raised now, raising four generations, Gabriel told me the other day. Raised my own, then I raised theirs, and then I raised theirs, and now I'm raising the others. But I do the same thing with each generation. I teach them the way they need to live. And they remember that. Are you listening? Little Isaiah said one day, you know, you need to take that one kid and you need to train them how to act. Because they don't act very nice. See, if you'll train your kids right, they'll see when other kids are carrying on. And they'll even tell you, you're not supposed to do that. That's not a kid's job. That's a parent's job. Are you listening? You see it everywhere. Like just these two little boys just talking. They said, what's happened to these kids? They don't have any respect for the parents. You know, and they just do whatever they want to do. Well, you know, that's darkness. Darkness begets darkness, doesn't it? I'm sorry for the side trip. No, I'm not off. But I want to finish it, so I'll go back to skin. I'm teaching you how to walk with God. All right, where are we at, Nancy? The people around Jesus all noted the miraculous power Jesus had, the power that was different and unexpected from other healers of his time because he healed with the power of God. I'm telling you guys, you're not going to be an influence to the world until you become different. You can't be like the world. You have to be different, excuse me. You have to have power and authority. And God's trying to get us that into our heads today. We have to have the power and authority. We have to be different. Now, don't go out there and act dumb. The Holy Spirit will lead you and tell you exactly what to do when. All right? We are to do the very exact same thing as Jesus did. In Ephesians 3, 20-21, Paul prays, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God just spoke to me the other day. He said, daughter, you're not asking deep enough. Listen to that. You are not asking deep enough. That's why you're not receiving what God wants to give you. There's a deeper depth that we have to go into when we're going before God to ask him for something. All right? And with me, it all of a sudden, I just started crying and just started interceding. I was speaking, but I was speaking to God, and God answered. But I wasn't going deep enough. I wasn't being bold enough when I was before the Father. Are you listening? He says, come boldly, doesn't he? Come boldly. That's not disrespecting God. He likes a good fight. He really does. That's why he likes Barbara. She's a fighter with him. All right. The power of God is at work in his people to bring himself glory. The power of God is at work in his people to bring himself glory. Now, quit allowing the devil to think you don't have any power and authority, and don't let him think it isn't working, because it is working. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen was full of grace and power and was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Are you listening to this? The power of God is on display in the lives of those who love the Lord Jesus. The meaning of dunamis is clear. It means a type of power. And God told me to write down it was dunamis power that was working in Peter. The meaning of dunamis is clear. It means a type of power. All power comes from the Lord, which is why dunamis demonstrates the power, strength, and force of the Lord God at work in his creation in the lives of his people. The power of God is available to his followers today. In Acts 1:8, Jesus promised the disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria until the end of the earth. He says, you will receive. He didn't say maybe. You will receive power. He told his disciples, are you a disciple of Christ? If you are, then you have the same power running through your veins that the disciples had in the Bible. Just as God gave Moses and Joshua a commandment, he is now giving his remnant church a commandment. They were a remnant church, remember? Moses was asked to take off his sandals by God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 and verse 22. God spoke to Moses to take off his sandals as a place where he was standing was holy ground. God gave Moses a commission. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh and to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. First of all, he said, take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. And then after he did that, he said, now go. Our Father is giving us the very same mandate. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Go. I am sending you to the world to bring in the last great harvest of souls before the second coming of my son, Jesus. Little Isaiah said to me coming down the road, today, today is the day. So you know that I, how I talk, you know. It's going to happen today. But he was talking about a situation. But you know, you need somebody like that to reinforce in you, you know, what God's doing. And he's back there. He really has rhythm with that little tambourine, doesn't he? He was back there just playing that tambourine. I was a really minister to come to church, listen to the songs, and he was playing this tambourine and tell me today. So today, God wants to give you that dunamis power in your feet so that you stand on holy ground. So if you have God inside of you and you're God-minded, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And if you have God inside of you and you're God-minded, then God wants to anoint your feet today with dunamis power so that wherever place you walk will become holy ground.